Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It is good to be in God's house among God's people. Amen.
Amen.
And welcome. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm one of the pastors here at Royal Oak First. And let me tell you, it is good to be back back home in and among the people I love and care for you. Thank you for your prayers and support. I'll tell you a little more about it during the sermon, but man, being quiet is not my strong point. So I've appreciated all of your support. Welcome to worship here on Kickoff Sunday. We are glad that you are here. Remember, here at Royal Oak First, we exist to make Christ's love real. We want it to be made known in real love, real friendships, and the opportunities to make a real difference. Again, welcome to worship. We are glad you are here. Would you stand and let us be joined together in song?
As we gather here this morning, let us proclaim the historic creed of our church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All are welcome here.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Now turn to the folks around you and welcome them in God's love.
Today, and there's a lot of many things are covered in your bulletin. I ask you to please look through all the things that are happening, but we have a few things that we want to emphasize today and make sure you know. Bob, come on up and tell us about. I hear there's a baseball game coming up.
All right. Well, the weather may be against everything, but there's going to be good weather on Friday night. At Comerica Park for the Tigers ball game, and it is United Methodist night. I'm not sure that many of you were thinking of that, but there's a number of people that are certainly going, and we have tickets. So if there are anybody who would like to have tickets for Friday night's game, please see me afterwards. They're $40 a piece, in which good seats, and our bishop's going to be there and be introduced, and we're looking forward to United Methodist night, and maybe even some fireworks.
Maybe even a Tiger win, huh?
Don't
go crazy. The next announcement that I want to talk about is, again, how many of you, like me, got up this morning, you turned your TV on to hear what's happening in Florida? I mean, how do we not? How do we not? It seems like we just got through Hurricane Harvey, now Hurricane Irma, and I understand there's one right behind it. But we are a church who responds. We are a church who will gather and send relief down to those in need. And we've been doing this. We started last week. We started collecting items that we will send to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And I have to tell you, one of the things that was sort of a showstopper for us just a little bit, I called Jeff and I said, you know, we can collect these things. I don't know how we can get them where they're going. Shipping is expensive. I just don't know. Jeff called me on Thursday and he said, as only Jeff can, right? Jesus just showed up with a semi-truck and it's parked right outside our church. Actually, we have an angel donor who donated the use of a semi-truck for us to fill with whatever we can put in it. Relief supplies, and our missions team has put together a list. I think you all got one when you came in of all the items. If you would stick to those items, because I think UMCOR has divvied up among the other responders. These are the items that UMCOR will be taking down. So if you would stick to those, bring them here to the church. And you know what? We need to fan out a little bit. So we've got packets. There are packets in the back. If you want to take these packets to your neighbors, there's a letter inside the packet that says, hey, neighbor, if you want to participate in this, just let me know and I'll come pick it up from you. Or you can get creative any way that you want to do that to involve your community and all of those around. We are also involving other churches in the area, Birmingham, Berkeley, Plymouth, a lot of other churches will be helping us load this and fill this semi. And we will have a big send-off in early October as we send this truckload of goods to those who need it most. So I ask you to have that on your heart. And I know you're saying, hey, wait a minute, aren't we also doing socks and underwear for Noah? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Because even when the rains and the hurricane winds are blowing in Florida, guess what? The homeless in Detroit are still there. Those in need, those who need a pair of socks, and you heard last week about how important, or 2 weeks ago, about how important that is. Those who need that still need that. So yes, we opened our hearts, we're going to open them just a little bit wider and bring socks and underwear. We've taken a challenge for that. We'll be doing that for the full month of September and maybe even a little beyond.
Yes,
I'm sorry?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. I love it. Yes, we can. We can do that. Yes, we can. The other things going on in the community, well, this is pretty obvious. It's kickoff Sunday, and I don't mean football. It's kickoff Sunday for Sunday school and for bringing us back in our new fall programming. And I'm sure you saw it as you came in. After the service today, there's a bouncy house. Hey, Parker, there's a bouncy house. There's a bouncy house out there. There's food. There's entertainment. And I hear there's some games that are going on. I hear
Pastor
there's...
Pastor Myra!
Yeah?
Look what I found!
Oh, my heavens.
Look at this!
And what is this, Amy?
This is the trophy!
And what is this trophy for?
This trophy is for those who want to participate at the games, at the kickoff Sunday picnic today. We're having a little competition. It's called a tournament, a Rofum tournament. And it basically, you get teams of two people, and you compete in ladder ball, cornhole, and washer toss. And then you have the semifinals and the finals. It's all very exciting. So we really want you to come and participate. This is for, you know, we've got lots of kids games and these games and great food, and we're really excited about this event. And you know, how I thought about this event today was, I think about this church and I think we do so much. Pastor Ira just got done telling us all the wonderful things that we're doing about serving others and missions, and this church is phenomenal at that. And I see today's picnic and kickoff as a chance for us to be together as a church family and to build friendships among us and just to have fun. And so we really want you to come and have fun and just be together as a church family, just enjoy.
Well, and are we a competitive church or what? I mean, really, and now that you've seen this, this could be yours.
Oh, there's one more thing. Pastor Myra, there's one more thing. Guess what you get to do if you win this trophy?
Oh, what? Please tell us.
You get to add something to it this year and bring it back next year. So you get to improve it in some way.
I can't
imagine.
It's
so plain. And so plain. Over the years, it's going to become so gaudy. And we are going to love this trophy. Love this trophy. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all you're doing. Yes, please. I think we've got a couple of other things going on. Oh, yeah, Jeff is already claiming this trophy. And no way, right? No way. We got to get in there and win that. We also have a special project going on today. Amy, are you here with us? We have a special project where we are. Come on down. Hi. If you would, tell us a little bit about this project.
Yep, so over the next 3 weeks, we are inviting the church community to create some artwork. And it will be displayed in a 350 tile mosaic on the fourth floor. And the theme of this artwork will focus on our children of the church. So what we're asking is, our mission is pretty much to create an uplifting environment for them up on the fourth floor and surround them with images of our love and support so that they will feel welcomed on that level.
Who do you want out there painting tiles today?
We want everyone, and it's a beautiful day, so take advantage of the sunshine. We have many colors to work with, so if you've never touched a paintbrush, today is the day. If you fear what might come out of your hand,
yes,
that's okay, we invite you. And we want kids, adults, and we want to focus it today on just one question. And for adults, we want you to tell us what children symbolize. If you need help with ideas, we have booklets out there. If it's love, all you need to do is draw a heart. If it's playfulness, all you have to do is draw a big, giant smile. But we have lots of examples for you. So each week from today on, it'll change.
Great, thank you so much. So be sure when you're outside, find the table and paint a tile. I'm gonna do it, I'm the worst artist ever. So you'll see mine, I'm sure, it'll stand out. Because it's so bad. So please come out and paint the tile. Thank you so much for bringing
this. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. Give her a round of applause. She's worked really hard on it. It is Comeback Sunday. We kick off Sunday school, but we also kick off Holy Cow. We kick off our our youth group. All of those things are happening this week. If you've been waiting for that all summer, it starts now. It starts today. So we would ask you to please contact Danielle if you have any questions about that. Danielle Moody will help you if you want to know more about any of these programs. And now we're going to ask our children to come down.
We get all our kids and our youth and our Sunday school teachers who are here with us today to come on down. We're going to get ready to start Sunday school this year. Come on down. Come on, come on. Come on up, everybody. Come on up and stand up right up here on this row. Everybody stay standing up today. Stand up today. Face out everybody out to the congregation so they can see how good looking you are. Hey, I've missed you. Oh. Any of our Sunday school teachers here with us this morning? Come down and join us as well. Come on down.
Please come
Mom,
down.
Mom, you coming too? Okay, they're bringing Mom up. You're just a kid at heart, Lori. It's all right, Oliver. You can sit by Mom if you want. There you go. Hey, who started school this week? How'd it go? Was it awesome? Were you glad to be back? No. Who said no? You're glad to be back. Today here at church, we're starting something really special. We're starting Sunday school, right? Sunday school is your chance to get to know God better and get to know each other better. And we are so thankful for a Sunday school and all of you who are going to be helping with that. Friends, we want to make sure that these kids and our teachers and our Sunday school program, our youth program, our Holy Cow program, goes out with our blessing. And we wanted you to see, man, look at how big this Sunday school is getting, right? Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Guys, on the screen back here, we're going to do a blessing together, getting you ready. So turn around and look up here, and if you can read, you read the all part with us. In church, you read the all part as well. Myra's going to start us with the one, and we'll do the all together.
As we begin this new school year, we give thanks that God has given us the ability to learn many new things in many new ways.
We learn in school, but we also learn in church, in our family, in our community, and in the world.
Learning is a gift from God. The Bible tells us that Jesus learned and studied just as we do. And Jesus grew in wisdom. We give thanks to God for the gift of learning.
Loving God, sometimes a new school year seems exciting or scary or both.
Sometimes school is great and sometimes it's hard.
But we know that whether we are excited or scared, you are with us. We know that whether school is great or hard, you are with us. We thank you for always being with us.
Help us to remember to show our thanks for your gift of learning by doing our best every day. Amen.
All right, guys, you can head off to Sunday school. Woo! High fives all the way across.
During this month, we're going to be talking about ways that we're connecting with each other in friendships and in the deeper relationships. And just to show you what some of that looks like, we're bringing up our own group, EFG, the Eli, Franklin, and Grace, to sing as they've known each other since you were how small? Forever? You don't remember? Okay. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Broken like the first morning.
offering today, we like to show you some of the ways that your offering is put to good use. And boy, we had quite a summer here at Royal Oak First, haven't we? We've done a lot of things, and we have a video as a reminder that of all the wonderful things that happened this summer, all the wonderful ways that your offering is used here in this church and in the community.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts release, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.
Change the
our offerings this morning. We bring them to you because we know that all that we have belongs to you. All that we are belongs to you. No, God, sometimes it can be a scary place in this world, and we are grateful that we can indeed lean on the everlasting arms. We can lean on the arms, and sometimes those arms push us right out into the world, and we are grateful for that. Be with us and guide us as we go out into your world as the hands and feet of Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and then Matthew 18, 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And look, I myself will be with you every day, even until the end of this present age. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from a nice warm bed,
you just remember what your old pal said, 'cause you got a friend in me.
Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
You got troubles, and I got them too.
There ain't nothing that we can't do, 'cause
if we stick together, we'll see it through.
'Cause you got a friend in me.
Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Some folks might say that you're a little smarter, bigger and stronger too.
Probably not. But none of them will ever love you the way I do.
It's me and you, boy.
As the years go by,
our friendship will never die.
You're gonna see it's our destiny, 'cause you got a friend in me.
That's right.
Oh, you got a friend in me. One more time, you're gonna see it's our destiny. Oh, 'cause you got a friend in me.
Yeah. All right, don't send that to the doctor that told me not to do that anymore. Well, this is what I've been looking like the last 3 weeks, right here. My wife finally got to pull the duct tape out and had doctor's orders to place it over my mouth. For the last 3 weeks, I have been on doctor-suggested, recommended, ordered silence. How do you think that went? Right. That was hard. That was one of the hardest things I've had to do in a long, long time. For me, not talking is for, like, you not breathing, right? You know? It is how I am in the world. And it was hard. It was really, really hard. But the hardest thing wasn't necessarily the not talking. The hardest part was not connecting to people.
Because in order for me to be quiet, I can't be around people. Because if I'm around people, I want to connect with them. I want to talk to them, you know? Bridget will tell me, Jeff, just because you haven't met that waitress yet doesn't mean you have to. You don't have to know everything about her. There's just this thing in me that I need to connect. And so for 3 weeks, I was by myself. And I missed people. I missed my people. I missed you people. And this is something that you can miss. And I don't mean just all this. I mean all of this. I missed you.
And we missed you.
Well, thanks, Art. 3 weeks alone, I got a little lonely. I don't know, have any of you ever been lonely or lonesome or felt like you were all by yourself? You know, loneliness can be something that comes on through a variety of all kinds of things. Loneliness can be brought on by loss, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of health. We can feel lonely in the midst of transition when our life is moving from one place to another. We can be lonely when we come into a new community, or when we come into a new job, or we start a new school, or our kids leave to go to school. We can start to feel lonely, and yes, even coming to a new church can sometimes feel lonely. You know, coming to a church can be one of the most, to a new church, or being new to a church can be one of the most frightening and sometimes isolating and sometimes even lonely experiences. You know, people come into a church hoping and praying that maybe, just maybe, they're going to make some friends and some connections with people, and they walk in and they see all these people, and man, these people really like each other. Maybe they'll like me the same way. And then we say, everybody, stand up and shake a hand and give someone a hug. And the new person goes, nobody was there to hug me. I don't know what to do right now. Or they head downstairs for the first time to get that cup of coffee, and they stand there like they're at, you know, remember that? I remember the first time I was like, went to Bridget's family reunion as the new guy. I mean, it's just kind of like, yeah, you guys really like each other. I'm not sure you know what to do with me yet, right? It's like being at somebody else's family reunion. So maybe today you're here, and for a variety of reasons, you feel lonely. Even in the midst of all of these people, there just might be a part of you that feels alone. And so that's why I get to stand up here this day and say to you probably one of the most important things I can say to you. I can say to you anytime, every time. I get to say to you this morning, proclaim it loud and clear, you are not alone. You are never alone. Always, everywhere, anytime, God is with you. God is with you no matter where you find yourself. God is present to you and with you. You are never alone. Did you hear that in the scripture Myra read for us this morning from the Great Commission? It's there at the end of Matthew's gospel. It's how it all culminates. It's Jesus' last words to us, his last will and testament before he ascends and sits with God for the rest of eternity. Jesus has these last words to us, and he ends it by saying, don't forget, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I am with you always. I looked up the word always in the dictionary. Do you know what the definition of always is? Always. Always. I am with you always. And I know that I am, in saying that, supposed to be making this most comforting assertion of faith. But I imagine that there's somebody out there today saying, man, that's some fancy preaching, preacher. It's pretty spiritual stuff you're saying up there, but you can talk all you want about this thing that God is with me wherever I am, but the more you talk about it, the lonelier I feel. It was funny. I mean, I sat home for 3 weeks, and all you guys said to me is, boy, I'm really glad you're going to be quiet for 3 weeks. I can't wait to hear what the Lord has to say to you. I just kept waiting for the Lord to say anything. And all I felt was alone and lonely. Sometimes when the preacher says to you in the midst of your sorrow, oh, don't worry, God is with you. And you go, I don't feel like God is with me at all. So what does it mean for me to stand up here and make this assertion of my faith that God is with us no matter what? And you say to me, how do I relate to this invisible, sometimes feeling distant, very spiritual deity that you're talking about, Pastor? How does that work? And that's why I hope you also heard the second scripture that Myra read for us today. I have been studying scripture for 20, 25 years, and never in my life have I put together what Jesus said at the end of Matthew 28 with what he also said a couple of chapters earlier in Matthew 18. And when you put these two together, maybe, just maybe, we figure out what it means to understand that God is with us all the time. Remember what Jesus said in that often familiar verse. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am with you. There it is. It's genius. How is God present to us? And how we are with each other. In the midst of our friends, especially our church friends. Whenever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am present to you. I am present with you. I am present among you. It's in that relationship with each other that God sometimes is most present to us. You know there is a difference between knowing about Christ and feeling that you are known by Christ. Let me say that again. There is a difference between knowing about Christ and being known by Christ. Because sometimes we get all of the names and the dates and the statistics about Jesus down in our head. We study the scripture so we know all of the facts. Right? We know that he was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. We know all of the stats and the statistics and the figures, and we hope and we pray that the more we know about Christ, that in those moments of trouble, that we will feel known by Christ. And when we don't feel known, when we feel alone and lonely, we wonder, why did I spend all that time memorizing all those statistics? It's kind of like this. You see, today for me is a high holy day. Not because it's kickoff Sunday at church, people. But it's kickoff Sunday at NFL. You can bet if the Packers were playing at 1 o'clock today, we would not be having a party at church. Do you know that in Wisconsin, it is a state law that no worship service between September and December can run past 11:30? It is state law. Right? It is state law, right? You know, so it is Packer kickoff day today. And I am a big Packer fan. I am excited about the Packers. You gotta understand, I like became of age as a Packer fan during the second glory years of the 1990s when the Packers were good and consistently good, and we actually had the Messiah that came and visited us in this man right here, number 4, Brett Favre. He delivered us. He delivered us from the slavery of sin and death to the promised land. And here's the deal, friends. I know almost everything there is to know about Brett Favre. He was born on October 10, 1969 in Gulfport, Mississippi. He started 4 years for South Hancock High School, where they won two consecutive state championships. He went on to quarterback the Southern Mississippi Golden Eagles and was drafted by the 33rd pick in the second round by the Atlanta Falcons in 1991. And then in a moment that is only second to the incarnation of Jesus Christ, he was traded to the Green Bay Packers, where he went on to have 11 Pro Bowl appearances, the first player in NFL history to have three consecutive MVP awards. He went on to win the Super Bowl in 1997. At the end of his career, he had completed 6,300 passes for 71,383 yards and 509 touchdowns. And he married his high school sweetheart, Deanna Tynes, on July 14, 1996, 1 week before I married Bridget Nelson. And that's why he wasn't at our wedding. That and the restraining order. I know all this stuff about Brett Favre, but I don't know Brett Favre. And he doesn't know me. And if I'm in trouble, Brett Favre is not coming to my rescue. So all my worship of him, all my memorizing of statistics of him, all these things I might know about him, doesn't mean I know anything about him. He doesn't know anything about me. And the same is true. Sometimes we sit next to people in church for years. And sometimes we know a few statistics about them. We know their name. We might know where they work. We might know they have kids. If we're lucky, we might know whose kids are theirs and what their kids' names are. We know whether they can sing on key or not. But when we get in trouble, we sometimes wonder where our church friends are. Because we haven't had a chance to really get to know them. Remember what Jesus said. Wherever two or three are gathered, are connected, who are sharing life and love with each other, then there I am. I am present to them and among them. I'm way into the communion here. I got carried away. So let me ask you today, how are you doing making friends, especially church friends? You know, for church to work, for faith to work, you need to have some friends. You need to have some church friends. So how are you doing in making some church friends? You know, we have between 100 and 150 people who have been hanging out at Royal Oak First for less than a year, and they are wondering, is there a chance for me to make some friends here? Some real friends. So here's what we're going to do this fall. Starting next Sunday, I'm going to be introducing you to some opportunities to make some friends here, to get to know some people. We're going to be highlighting some ways to get connected. Some of those groups and ways have been around for a long time, and we're just going to highlight them again and say, hey, the doors are open. You can come and be a part of the Knowledge Circle of United Methodist Women. You can be a part of the United Methodist Women's Book Study. It's been going. Maybe you just didn't know it was here. Here it is. You can come and connect. We're also going to create, you can go to Romeo's, one of my favorites. You know what Romeo's stands for? Retired Old Men Eating Out. It's the best group in the whole church. All you got to do is eat, right? And it's a great group. We're going to talk about that next week. You can get connected to some of these groups and make some friends. We're going to start some new groups. Some of the groups will be for women. Some of the groups will be for men. Some of the groups will be for moms. Some of the groups will be for everybody. Some of the groups will be right here in the church building. Some of them will be out in the neighborhood and in the community. We want to make sure that you have a place where you can have the kind of ability to sing the song that I sang with Caleb this morning, because this is not just a song between us. We have worked hard to make sure that we live that song. He's got a friend in me. And we want to make sure that you can sing that song for each other. So next week, we're going to start inviting you to think about how in October you can start to make that connection. You see, one of my favorite authors, her name is Anne Lamott. If you've never read any of Anne Lamott's books, I recommend her to you immediately. She's an incredible writer. She's real. She's down to earth. She's very faithful. Anne wrote a journal about her first year of being a single mom to her son, Sam. And she was being a single mom at a time where she was also brand new and recovering from alcoholism. And she writes about just being a mom and being alone and feeling isolated and not being able to get it right. And she said, I had struggled to get my recovery straight. I had started going back to church, but here I am. I'm overwhelmed. And for the first time in my new recovery, I said, all of this doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know who God really is. All of this is probably a lie. And at that point, there was a knock on the door. And outside the door was Gordon. Gordon was a 57-year-old middle-aged man who sat in the pew next to her at church. He said, Margaret and I were talking over dinner last night, and we saw that you were struggling a little bit, and so we said we'd come over here today, and I just want to know, is there just one thing that I can do for you that will help you in this time? Anne said, it's too much to ask them. It's horrible. Gordon said, try me. He said, you want to help me? I just need somebody to clean the bathroom. And for the next hour, this single mom who felt all alone in the world held her newborn baby in her arm while a middle-aged man who shared the pew with her cleaned her bathroom. And she says, I don't need to guess who Jesus is anymore. His name is Gordon. One time he cleaned my bathroom. Because you see, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am present to them. Don't you want friends like that?
Amen.
Then you got to be a friend like that. And the only way to do that is to get connected. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. I got troubles, and you got them too. But there ain't nothing together that we can't do. Today, we end this service by coming to the Lord's table. It's here at this table that we remember that Jesus is totally present to us and totally present with us. And the miracle is that presence is only mediated when we come to the table together. So I invite you to join me in this great Thanksgiving as we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table. Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyous thing always and everywhere to give thanks to God who's present to us no matter where it is that we gather. And so with all of the people here on earth and the company of heaven, join me as we sing God's unending hymn. Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Don't you get it? On the night Jesus gave himself up for us, he gathered together with friends. And he took a loaf of bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke this bread and he said, this bread is just like my body. which I break for you. Now take and eat and do this. Don't eat the bread, but break yourself open for your friends. Do this in remembrance of me. And when you do, I'll be right there. And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to God for it and said, this cup is filled with my spirit. This cup's got forgiveness in it. It's got do-overs in it. It's got second chances in it. Take and drink it. When you do, remember that I reconciled myself to you so that you can be reconciled to each other. So we ask that God would take these gifts of bread and cup and make them actually be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body and blood of Christ for each other. Because wherever two or more are gathered, Jesus is present with us. And so proclaim with me the mystery of our faith as we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And now with the confidence of children of God, pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this table is open and you are welcome to come to it. Doesn't matter who you are or where you've been, doesn't matter what you've been through, doesn't matter who you love or who loves you, you are invited to come to this table today. Come together. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus is present with us. up for grabs. We'll see you out there for the kickoff party. Anything these last 3 weeks have taught me is I need you. I can't do this by myself. And I don't want any of you trying to do it by yourself. So let us find those places where we can connect so that we are reminded that God is always with us, no matter what it is that we are going through. Go in peace, my friends. May the peace of God go with us. Amen?
Amen.
Get out of here and do something good for somebody, all right?